एचडी स्मार्ट कास्ट।
यू आर लिसनिंग टू एन एचडी स्मार्ट कास्ट ओरिजिनल।
Welcome back to yet another season of Health Charcha, issued in public interest by Medtronic. I'm Deepthi Ahuja, podcast producer, HD Smartcast, and your podcast host and dost on the show. Here we will discuss all of your burning health-related questions. So, let's begin. The fact that we live in uncertain times, it is a given. But the fact that we are still continuing to live in uncertain times, almost at the brink of the fourth wave, that is tiresome. The pandemic has pushed us in our shells like no other tragedy has. And so to expose one's heart for any kind of surgery requires a lot of careful consideration, no? So my team and I decided that we should have a dedicated episode on how safe a procedure like TAVI is and what kind of activities post-TAVI can help improve our heart health. And to talk to us about all of this, in this episode we have with us Dr. Harinder K. Bali, Chairman Cardiac Sciences, Paras Hospitals, Delhi. Hi Dr. Bali, kaise hai aap? Welcome to Health Charcha.
Hello Deepthi, how are you? I am good.
I'm good too. So, let's get right into it. Is there any benefit of any kind of minimally invasive therapy when it comes to aortic stenosis?
Yeah, I think aortic stenosis has been there with us for a long period of time, and we continue to see cases who have severe aortic stenosis. Mm-hmm. And we have a number of options for them. Surgical option, minimally invasive surgery, and then we have what we call as a percutaneous aortic valve replacement, or acronym TAVR or TAVI. So all these options are available, and we do individualize in each patient which would be the best option for him.
Right. But is there a benefit to it? I mean, there's of course an open heart surgery, and then, okay,
when we talk of TAVR, the benefit is because it's a very minimal procedure. We do it from the groin without any surgery. The entire procedure is percutaneous. So obviously, these days it is done without anesthesia. So hospital stay is much shorter. Mobilization is almost next day. So it is very patient friendly procedure. And as compared to open heart surgery, which is requires a prolonged hospitalization. And obviously, we're doing it under heart lung bypass machine, and it has its own complication. So especially in elderly people, are in those people where we feel that anesthesia is going to be high risk or moderately high risk, this is a very good option. And this is becoming the option to go to because of early mobilization, minimally invasive procedure, and earlier patient getting back to normal in a day or two.
Right. And that's quite, it aise santwana dene wala, it's like that. So now, if aortic stenosis has been diagnosed for a person, and then one contracts COVID because the fourth wave is upon us and it's not really gone away from our lives, to be very honest, what is the impact of the illness on the patient?
See, COVID, we feel that we have got a hiatus during which time the number of cases is less, but we should be prepared for a fourth wave. And we have learned a lot during the first and second wave. And we now understand that in COVID, the carrying out of procedures is going to be a little difficult, because patients, obviously for right reasons, try to avoid to come to hospital and try to stay in the hospital for as short a time period as possible. So in COVID times, there is definitely a problem in managing patient where surgical procedure is required or even minimally invasive procedure is required. Now, initially, the guidelines were definitely that you need to have patients where minimally invasive procedure would produce more aerosol-related problems. So infection could be more, or the virus load could be much more. So open surgery may be a better option to go to. But as we learned more about the COVID, the way it spreads, and we started using PPE and taking other precautions to minimize the spread, we went to a stage where we thought that the better way was to do a procedure which was requiring a patient to be admitted in the hospital for a very short period of time, and the least complications are expected, and their TAVI would score. So I would say, right, even in patients of aortic stenosis during COVID time, it is a much better idea to look at TAVI as an option, because patients would accept this procedure more readily. Their stay in the hospital would be shorter. Mobilization would be better. So chances of catching COVID during the hospitalization or during stay in the hospital and meeting other people in the hospital would go down. So I would say, with taking all the precautions which we have learned are good to reduce the COVID infection, minimally invasive or TAVR would be the procedure to go to in patients of aortic stenosis too. And that is what we should be doing.
But say, for example, someone does contract it, are there chances of, you know, the disease being more fatal in someone who has aortic stenosis? And if yes, then how do you deal with the surgery? And, you know, say, for example, they do contract it. What happens then?
See, COVID also affects lungs and heart, and it produces symptoms of breathlessness and, you know, orthopnea and PND. Symptoms are similar to what patients of aortic stenosis also have once they go into heart failure. So it is quite likely that patients who have aortic stenosis, which is a cardiac condition making these patients more prone to get COVID or get complications of COVID. So we can have a situation where a patient of aortic stenosis contacts COVID and becomes symptomatic or becomes more symptomatic than he was earlier. Therefore, we would be dealing with such patients during COVID time more often than what we're dealing before, because the symptoms would be more, and we would have to find out what are the symptoms which are being produced by COVID infection and what are the symptoms because of the aortic stenosis itself. And we may have to take care of those aortic stenosis patients even in the presence of COVID. And that is where the question of limiting the spread of infection comes. That is where the question of preventing infection being spread to the operator or the staff in the cath lab or in the CCU comes in. And that is where what we have learned from the second wave and first wave comes very handy, that we would like to minimize hospital stay. We would like to patient to stay and have a procedure in the with a minimal exposure, and get ambulatory as fast as possible and go back home at the earliest. So therefore, we are likely to, and we have seen in the second wave, that aortic stenosis patient required more treatment than they would earlier.
Makes sense. Are there any kinds of special safety measures after, you know, going through the minimally invasive procedure that the patients and their families, they need to keep in mind?
You know, there are guidelines which came up from WHO and other organizations, both at the international level and at the national level. And it's said that, you know, we need to take all precautions to take care of these patients who require procedures during hospitalization. And earlier stages, it was recommended that if they need treatment, then it is better to do an open procedure. But now, later guidelines do say that if we take all the precautions, which would mean personal protection being taken care of and preventing patient-to-patient infection, we could carry out these procedures very safely in the hospital. So I would feel that we are now more trained and more we are better educated to treat these patients in the current era, even if the COVID comes back or a patient has COVID plus an aortic stenotic symptomatic aortic stenosis.
Right. Okay, so this is just a little something that, you know, I tend to ask a lot because I'm a huge supporter of good mental health. The pandemic has unfortunately contributed to a lot of stress, anxiety, depression. And of course, you know, that affects our physical health too. So what kind of mental health care would a patient be required to, you know, keep in mind after TAVI or TAVR, Dr. Bali?
You know, we had seen, we have seen, and we are continue to see a lot of mental health problem in COVID times, both in patients and also in general population. And that is, we saw a lot of anxiety, depression, and even major mental illnesses during this time, which is expected because of economic reasons, because of the fact that people were isolated from their friends and relatives, and they were not meeting other people. So there are number of mental issues which are there, and we expect it to continue even after the COVID is over. We will see these mental issues. And if we're talking about patients of aortic stenosis, these mental issues would play a very major role. And yes, we need to address those things. And there the role of counseling comes in, and there's a role of limiting hospitalization comes in, so that patient can go back to their natural environment as fast as possible. So I think mental issues will be a major problem, and it will be going to be a team approach to the mental approach. The cardiologist obviously would be involved, the primary physician would be involved, counselors would be involved, and the best means is if we can limit the stay of these patients in hospital to the shortest possible time, and provide them with symptomatic relief so that they can have a better physical quality of life, which works both ways. If you have a better physical quality of life, your mental health is likely to be better. And if your mental health is better, then the physical recovery is going to be that much more better.
Glad. Good to know that, now both sides, the physical health specialists and the mental health specialists, are working in tandem with each other. Because, I mean, you're right. If I have more stress, then it will put more stress on my physical self, right? So let's say that, a person has gone through the TAVI-TAVR procedure. What kind of precautions does one need to take care of once they are back home?
See, these precautions are both medical treatment which they will have to continue to take, and secondly, how much and what physical activities they need to take care of. As far as medicines are concerned, one is they will have to take treatment for symptomatic relief of their problem, and the other thing is we prescribe some type of blood thinners to these patients, and these blood thinners will have to be taken for a particular period of time. So that is one area which we need to take care of. And we would like them to take care of their health by leading a good, healthy lifestyle. We would include healthy food and physical activity. When we talk about healthy food, then we are talking about green leafy vegetables they should be taking. And they should be avoiding fats and trans fats. And they would preferably be going on beans and lentils and that type of a diet they should have. So which is good for heart. That is one area which we need to have. And they should cut down on their fats, which is a problematic area. And a lot of fruits fruit should become a part of daily intake. And fish is good. Fish is absolutely good for these people. We would like them to avoid taking red meat. And this is a healthy diet, what we call. So that is going to be very good, whole grains, beans and legumes, and even Mediterranean diet. Some people do go to Mediterranean diet, which is rich in olive oil, and which is rich in beans, and that has been shown to be good. The other thing we want them is to indulge in some sort of physical activity, which will be dependent on how much their heart condition allows them. So, but we'd like them to do a physical activity, which would be in the form of brisk walking or jogging a little bit, or even cycling. In COVID time, we've seen stationary cycles would be very useful. They could do some exercise against resistance, which is very good for heart. So they need to indulge in physical activities, which are positive for their heart. And it's been seen that physical activity improves the cardiac function.
Right. I hear you.
Yeah, it does. And then they should indulge in those activities which improve their mental health. And we believe that, meditation or some sort of stress busters, or even yoga, which is a very, very, very holistic mental relaxation exercise and physical activity. So all these things, physical exercise, issues taken care of, with that positive mental health comes in, and taking drugs which are prescribed by the doctors, and most importantly, anticoagulants, some sort of blood thinners, depending on whether they are regular heart rhythm or they have got irregular heart rhythm, and what type of TAVI has been done. We would normally prescribe them some blood thinners for a few weeks to a few months to take care of the problem. The next thing is that this is a TAVI is obviously an artificial heart. And such patients are prone to develop infections. They need to maintain good general health. And the commonest root and cause of endocarditis, what we call about infection settling on this artificial heart, is from the mouth, from teeth. So we tell these patients that they should maintain very good oral health, take care of the health of their teeth very well, so that the chances of infection spreading from them is not there. So that is what we'd like to do. And in case they are likely to undergo some sort of a procedure, then they need to inform their doctor that they have an artificial valve, and so that the doctor can use prophylactic antibiotic in these patients, so that during bacteremia, which occurs after some surgical procedure, can be taken care of. So antibiotic prophylaxis for infective endocarditis would be very important. So they should tell their doctors that they have this undergone a TAVR.
Right.
Necessary precautions can be taken.
Absolutely. And Dr. Bali, आपने तो मतलब मेरी बाकी की बातों का भी जवाब दे दिया.
जी, you can ask me more and tell the patients.
लेकिन I do have one more question with regards to the food, right? कि अगर if someone is a vegetarian, right? फिर आपने you've mentioned oily fish, you've mentioned
so fruits meat. And vegetables, whole grain.
It will work,
beans,
right?
Legumes. These are
they don't
good
have
because
to
most
have
most
to.
Of the people in India are actually vegetarian.
Huh.
So therefore, we need to have healthy food for them, where they get sufficient amount of their calories, they get sufficient amount of their proteins. So that can be from all these things.
Huh. Okay. So that was definitely one of the things that I really wanted to talk to you about. And the other thing, of course, you've already mentioned, about the physical exercises that a heart patient can do and the daily routine. But, I really want to also understand, is there a limit to these exercises? Is there a point where people end up overdoing it and then end up, then it becomes counterproductive for them? Aisa bhi hai?
Yeah, absolutely right that, if their person is absolutely healthy, then we advise them regular exercise 5 days a week, where they should do at least 30-35 minutes of exercise, 10 minutes of warm-up and 10 minutes of cooling down. And this exercise, what we do is very important, because we want a moderate level of exercise. That would mean that the heart rate should go to 110-120 per minute. And that is what we recommend to a normal person. And this normal exercise helps people in lowering their blood pressure, in controlling their blood sugar, in improving their good cholesterol, which we call as HDL, in lowering bad cholesterol, and also for the heart. So that decreasing there is evidence to show that where people who are on regular exercise have lesser complication of all the risk factors and lesser heart attacks. But in those patients who have undergone a procedure, for example, TAVR, in these people, we would tell them they should undertake only such physical activities where they do not become overtly breathless. But within the limits of their symptoms, they should do activity. Because we believe that some exercise is better than no exercise. So they can progressively increase their activity over a period of time. And that should be done under the guidance of a doctor. Because we would need to know what is their heart muscle function like, what is their rhythm like, and how much effort, because we have to take into consideration that these are elderly people. They are people in their 80s and 90s. So they may have joint problems, they may have other problems. So we have to devise this exercise protocol for each person individually. And we would not like them to do over-exercise, and that doesn't help in any way. So we'd like them to have mild to moderate exercise, which increases over a period of time. And Deepthi ji, you were absolutely right. Excessive exercise, what we see in the gym and, people trying to break some records and all that. We don't recommend that. We don't feel that is good for heart. We don't feel that serves any good purpose. And for us, from cardiac point of view, from a medical point of view, moderate level of exercise is important. And that moderate level exercise should be such where most of our, muscles do some activity. That's why we believe swimming is a very good exercise, because we move over most of our muscle. So we have to see that This is a regular exercise. We do at least 5 days a week and moderate level. So that is what we would recommend. And that is more important than the intensity of exercise. Intensity of exercise, we can have problem. We can have, you know, we can injure ourselves, and it doesn't have any great benefit as compared to moderate exercise.
Makes a lot of sense. I think this is one thing that I really wanted to, you know, talk to you about, because generally when people do go to gyms, unko sabse pehle cardio pe kar diya jata because they have to reduce fat, you know, quote unquote. But, you know, the basic nuances and the nitty gritty of what they are going through, what procedure they've gone through, what illness they are affected by, uski zyada discussion nahi hoti. So I'm glad that first of all the doctors are involved in making this exercise chart and all of that. And the other thing is that your emphasis is on, you know, moderate exercising, maybe even resistance training or something like swimming. I'm glad that you brought this up. And on that note, thank you so much, Dr. Bali, for joining us and for having such a detailed discussion with us and doing it so patiently, moreover.
Thank you, Deepti ji, for inviting me to be on your Health Charcha. And I look forward that in the coming weeks and months, we have COVID behind us and we can talk more aggressively about all these problems which are health-related. Thanks a ton.
Absolutely. As ghisa pita as this dialogue sounds, a healthy heart is a happy heart. And I'm sure anyone who's listening to this episode and has been diagnosed or has a loved one who has been diagnosed with aortic stenosis at least feels prepared, you know, armed with all this information, ready to go into battle with these deadly diseases. Thank you again, Dr. Bali. That's it for this episode on Health Charcha. If you want to know more about the diseases discussed in this podcast, please initiate a discussion with your physician. To get updates on Health Charcha, follow at HT Smartcast on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube or LinkedIn. And to listen to more such podcasts, log on to htsmartcast.com or suno Naye Nazariye Se. This is a public awareness initiative supported by Medtronic. Views expressed are independent views of Dr. Harinder K. Bali, intended for general information and educational purposes only. They do not constitute any medical advice. Please consult your physician for any questions or concerns you may have regarding your condition. The doctor makes no recommendations or endorsements of any products or services.
This was an HT Smartcast original.
HT Smartcast.